So any thought, any idea, ideas have consequences. Things that we think and the way that we think has consequences. And they can have a demonstration of leprosy on the head. I want to cite a couple of examples for you of those who I think really illustrate this point really well. You may not think about these people, but in the book of Job, we know the story of Job. Job had his challenge. He lost everything. He lost everything. And in losing everything, his friends came to him. And that was noble. And this is sort of ties in with some of the conversation that we had. His friends came to him. And his friends, for the first couple of days, did the right thing. They sat down and they mourned with him. And then they were commiserating with Job, sitting quietly, sitting quietly, supporting him. But then they opened their mouths. They opened their mouths and they began to speak. And they began to speak because they had ideas. And they had thoughts about what was going on. And they thought they were important enough to express those thoughts and those ideas. Only to be revealed that those thoughts and ideas, in the context in which they were given them, were leprous thoughts. Turn to Job chapter 42. And see God's assessment of these three friends. Chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have so spoken of me the thing which is right, like you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." Eliphaz and his two friends, out of the pride of their own thinking, expressed ideas and thoughts that were not right. And they did it within the context of a nice religious social setting. There is so necessary for us as people to evaluate and to examine ourselves before we open our mouths. Am I really saying what this book says? Or am I saying what tradition has said? Or am I saying what I have conceived in my own mind? That's leprosy in the head, where my pride and my view of the world is all that matters, and I'm going to impress my view of the world on you, as opposed to allowing the Word of God to be the only arbitrator of what is true and what is right. I cite you another example. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there was Uzziah, the great king of Israel. He was the great king of Israel who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was going on in faithfulness to God. He instituted the Passover. He did all of these wonderful things. He dug wells. He did a great deal for the positive health and well-being of the children of Israel. But a thought came into his head. And the thought that came into his head was, well, I've been doing all of these great things for God and for his people, and he decides that he thinks he can go into the temple of God and offer the incense. He was no priest. And the Bible tells us that as he went in, God came down and leprosy burst up on his forehead. You see, when you presume, when I presume upon the holiness of God and think that I can go and do whatever I want to do and do so in the context of the Lord is leading me, I'm on dangerous ground. I have a leprous head. Why? Because my ideas and my thoughts are emanating from that same principle that we've been talking about, the flesh. And it's a religious, it could be a educated, it could look very noble. Thought life. We've been talking about leprosy and its remedy. In the idea of leprosy in the head, I'm making the application is that it has to do with pride and thoughts that emanate from self that take away from the glory of Christ, the glory of God. And it's something that we have to be very aware of. Let's talk about a little bit about remedy. The Bible says concerning us before we were converted that we were in the vanity of our minds. Our minds were full of vain and empty things in which there was no acknowledgement in the knowledge of God. So the first thing that has to occur in order to help us rein in our thoughts, in 2 Corinthians it tells us that we might bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But at first we have to remember what an empty reality it is to have a mind that's not connected with the one who is the truth. It's empty. It's a vain pursuit. So we must recognize and remember that to go in that path, to go down that path is to return to something that was not going to have a positive outcome. The second thing is, so we must recognize the condition. The second thing we must do is we must repent. It was touched on a little bit, but not exactly, but just want to read one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's the importance of the Word of God, and that the second thing that must be done, there must be repentance. It says, in meekness, that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Whenever there is this idea of leprosy in the head, it's always going to be ideas and advancement of interests that are contrary to the truth or are tangential to the truth. They are not the truth itself. And so what is necessary, there must be a repentance, a turning away from what is false back to what is true. So we must recognize, we must repent, and then we must renew. Romans 12, 1, we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Ephesians 4 tells us that we might be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It's called having our whole mental framework reestablished and reoriented to one who is to have the preeminence to Christ. And I close with two other verses.